Hallelujah. You've heard the term, despise not the day of small beginnings. It seems that you've always been in the day of small beginnings. But no, this is not just a beginning. This is an ongoing thing. It's been going on for years, and it will go on. If you do not lose heart and lose the vision, saith God, I'm at work through my word. Whether it be in large or small gathering, it doesn't matter to me to save by many or by few, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take courage this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I could go on, and you know most of the stories, but these are just the things that we hear. These are the things that trickle back into us. There's far more than that taking place, I guarantee you, that you never hear about. Have you ever heard a radio broadcast that touched you? Did you sit down and write a long letter or make a call? You probably didn't. I didn't either. But it touched me. Amen. Might be good that we do that more often, to let preachers know that what they're doing is having the impact that God wants it to have. But by faith, I see people being touched by the word of God. Amen. I see the gospel going where God is sending it from this ministry. And believe me, it goes far beyond the walls of this congregation. We're grateful to you for staying together, sticking it out, not being intimidated by our littleness. Can you say amen? It makes no difference to God. That's the scripture. Two places. And I can go into that at some other time. To save by many or by few. But we're glad you're here. We thank you for your giving. The radio broadcast is donated time. That's one of the other glories of it, that we have a 30-minute broadcast that is given to us because the WMAF, Betty in particular, wants to share the gospel, believes in, that our message will stay Christ-centered, that it won't get off in a tangent somewhere. This is not a commercial for our church. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't have a hidden agenda, but we do have an agenda. Amen. And our agenda is that others may come to know the saving grace that is in Jesus. That's why we're on the airways. And God is blessing that, because he knows that's my heart. He knows that's the heart of this ministry. And that's why I come here every Sunday, because I want to see the gospel through God's people go out and to touch other people. As we develop and grow in him and mature in him, we become like a city that is set up on a hill. Listen to this, which cannot be hid. That means you don't have to honk your horn. Someone said lighthouses, and there's a fog horn on some of them, but ships way out to sea can't hear the fog horn. Only people close in can hear that. But it said lighthouses don't honk horns or clang bells. They just shine. Can you say, man? And the Bible said to let your light so shine before men that they might what? See your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Recognize that God is at work in you. Amen. And so we want to bring attention to that through our lives as we grow in him and mature in him. And people can't help but notice there's something different about you. And it's not self-righteousness or someone pointing a finger at others. It's the fact that we've come to know Jesus as our personal Savior. And we're standing fast in the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Amen. And the peace. If you got peace in this generation, oh, you got something that I don't care how much money they have out in one of these Trump Tower or wherever. It doesn't matter. If you've got peace, you got something that can't be bought with silver or gold. We love you today. Thank you for giving to the work of the Lord. Thank you for your generous hearts. Thank you for coming and supporting the ministry. We love you for it. We thank you for it. We've obtained this piece of land and this wonderful 2,350 square feet building, and they're building a little house near us, and I just wanted to see how much it costs, because it's tiny, and you know, it's on a little scrunched up lot, about 50 foot of frontage, looks like it runs deep 100 foot, but only it's in between two other houses, and you can hear them cough, and you know, if somebody coughs in one there, somebody's going to say God bless you in another one. But I mean, it's almost like a duplex, it's so close. I wanted to see what the you know, what they charge for it. I just pulled it out, and it said, a little brochure out, because it's close to us, and it said 195 $5,000. And I thought, boy, to be sitting here on over two and a half acres this is huge for a little group of people. It's serving us right now, and to have it paid for is a grand blessing. Because if we went out to buy this right now, we'd be looking between $300,000 and $400,000 because it's zoned for commercial. God has done this. He opened this door. I don't understand why we haven't just, you know, built a big sanctuary here and filled it with people. But I do understand this. We're here because God sent us here, and whatever we have. What the Bible said, what your hand finds to do. Well, this is what our hand has found to do right here. He said to do it with your might. Put your whole heart into it. Use what God has given you. He asked Moses one time, what do you have in your hand? He said, I got this rod. He said, stretch it out. Can you say amen? Miracles don't take place because people come up with grand ideas and grand schemes. It's because they simply obey God and use what they have. Can you say amen? He stretched it out. He did a light thing, a little thing. God did a mighty thing and parted the Red Sea. Can you say amen? What did he give Samson to work with? Amen. When he wanted him to win a victory in behalf of Israel in the name of the Lord. Amen. What did he give him? What kind of weapon did he supply Samson with? Amen. The jawbone of a donkey that had died and been bleached in the sun. Isn't that incredible? Amen. That God would give him something that in no way would any honor be given to Samson, but all of the glory would go to God. One thing for sure. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm speaking to you this way this morning to lift your hearts and to increase your faith and to let you see through my eyes the fields, yea, saith God, and let you feel with my heart, yea, what I want you to accomplish in my behalf. Take courage in your heart this day, for this is a good day to serve the Lord. It's a good day to be about your Father's business and know that I'm in the midst of thee to bless the work of your hands, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I believe that with all of my heart. We wouldn't be here without that. Hallelujah. Father, bless this offering. Bless those who give this morning as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. And everyone said amen and amen. Thank you for your giving today. Such a blessing. 34 years now, or around for 34 years, that God has supplied the need. And we're grateful. And thank you for blessing my wife and I. It's been a privilege and an honor. We know that there are no people here that have huge amounts of cash laying around. Can anyone amen that today? I don't believe there's anyone here with huge amounts of cash laying around. And yet you give, and it means more because of that. When you give out of your penury or out of your own personal need, even if it's not a lot, it impresses the Lord, because it is an actual sacrifice when you do it. And there are others that could do it and never feel it, write it off their taxes, and never give up anything that they need or want or desire in order to bless God's word. But those who sacrificially give, God honors that according to the Scriptures. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians for a few moments as we prepare for Holy Communion today. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. I want to read the last part, just a statement in the last part of this verse, because I want to talk about celebrating Jesus as our Passover lamb today. We know he's the Lamb of God. I want to designate this day to celebrate Jesus as our Passover lamb. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 reads, in the last part of that, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In the New International, the NASB, in the Amplified New Testament, in the Living Bible Paraphrase, any of the other translations you go to, it's going to be very clear. It's going to say, Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. Everybody say that with me. Christ, our Passover Lamb. I want to go back real quick to the Passover. If you don't understand that, I want to read this from a paraphrase just for clarity. We can study it some other time, but I want to read down through this. Okay. Okay. A 1 hour. Oh. Okay. Okay. They want a live Sunday morning service, an hour a week, every Sunday. God just did that. What were we just talking about? He sent His Word. He sent His Word. He sent His Word. Praise the Lord. Well, we will have to edit, but we'll have to get ahead of it, but with a couple of services ahead of it, you know, and then we'll continue it and let the Lord work through our Sunday morning service right here. And that means it'll be in an hour context. Now, she wants the other one and the hour. So, a Sunday morning. Okay, we'll find out all about that. An hour each Sunday would be fine. We'll do it anyway. We'll figure it out. But God is, see what the Lord is saying this morning? Are you excited about God sending His Word? We're here talking about it. The Holy Spirit's bearing witness to get that vision, and then God is opening doors simultaneously. You realize what had just happened here in this service today? Amen. Can you get past yourself long enough to celebrate what the Lord wants to do with us? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Little as much when God is in it. Hallelujah. 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 God's going to set some people free through this ministry. Hallelujah. He sent His Word to do that. We're here to deliver it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not going to stop with this radio station either. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, we just let the Lord have His way. Now, see the field. See the fields. I'm sending you into harvest fields, saith God. I'm answering the prayers that you prayed earnestly before me. Yea, I'm sending you where the lost are. I'm sending you where the bound are. I'm sending you to penetrate the darkness, that prisoners of darkness may come to the light and be set free. I'm sending you. I'm sending you. I'm sending you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The New Testament calls Jesus our Passover. Let me say this. I'm going to read some things that I have written down that's really important you get this morning, but let me preface it by saying this. The Passover was never supposed to ever stop being celebrated. The New Covenant didn't stop the celebration of the Passover. Amen? Communion was established at a Passover meal, and it was to continue. Only Jesus was going to become the Lamb of the Passover. His blood was going to become the blood that touched men and women's hearts. Amen. Not just the doorpost of houses. He would be the final Lamb that would be sacrificed. But communion is a continuation of the celebration of the Passover Lamb. Can you say amen? Because the New Testament calls Jesus our Passover Lamb. Say it with me. Jesus is our Passover Lamb. Well, in order to get the significance of that, I just want to go back in Exodus 12, and I'm going to read it from the paraphrase as if I was just telling it to you and preaching it to you, but I don't want to miss the verses, because this is a Holy Communion should be taken very seriously, and it should be done As often as we can do it, without it becoming something that loses significance. We do it the first of each month, and I'm telling you, I look forward to the first Sunday because I enjoy the focus on Jesus and the cross. We hear a lot of things being taught out there. You can get into a political agenda and just deal with the politics and folks. When you vote, you need to vote issues that involve more than your pocketbook. Amen. More than some of the, you need to vote on some of these moral issues, because if you're a Christian, the Bible said we need to the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Can you say amen? You got to love what God loves and hate what God hates to walk with Him. And He wants you to have that in your value system. And I'm appalled at every election at how many so-called Christians and born-again believers vote other issues other than the greater issues, because if we lose this nation to that is against God and his kingdom, then we're going to lose the blessing on this nation. So if you're really concerned about your life and your family, amen, let's keep the things of God in mind when we go to the poll. I'm not even allowed to tell you how to vote, because that would violate some things that have already become law, as the crunch is put on the church, and freedom of speech, I might add, amen, because I should have the right to tell you how I'm going to vote and to encourage anything I want if I'm a freedom in America, but I don't have that right to have tax-exempt status for this ministry. And it would cost us a bunch, because we got a fine place here. It's little, but it's fine. Amen. And if it wasn't homesteaded and we didn't have the covering of the church right now, you know, that's tax-exempt, then the taxes alone would be like a big mortgage payment right on this that we have free right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? It would be way up there. So, but I want you to know what we're focusing on, and what God wants us to focus on right now is a Holy Ghost revival in America, a mighty move of God's Holy Spirit that touches people from the White House all the way down to my house and your house. Can you say amen? Listen to this in Exodus 12. Listen to it. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce unto the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or their goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and on the top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. The same night they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad, greens, and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meal raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, the legs, the internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. Now, these were their instructions, and there's reasons. We won't go into all of the ramifications of that. But verse 11 says, these are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. Now, what he's telling them is, this meal, this last great act of God to set them free, is going to involve a death angel that's going to come into the land and slay the firstborn, amen, of every family in the land of Egypt. It's going to soften the hardened heart of Pharaoh and all the people enough to be glad to see them go instead of to try to continue to hold them in bondage, amen. So he said, well, you eat it ready to leave. When you take communion, it should be no different. You should eat it ready, amen, to leave any bondage in your life. Anything that holds you back should be dealt with in this great service right now. If you're bound in any area of your life, this is the service. If it's a sin, to confess it, to search ourselves, amen. But we're to eat this with a readiness to be delivered. Everybody say a readiness to be delivered. He said, this is going to result in your exodus from this land of bondage. This is going to result in your freedom. Can you say, man, what's happening here today is going to literally set you free. So when you start partaking of this meal, I want you to do it, amen, ready to leave the place of bondage. I want you to do it with your shoes on your feet. I want you to do it with your walking stick in your hand. I'm not talking about old people on a cane or blind people with a cane. I'm talking about a staff, amen, that steadied them on the rocky roads, amen, in the steep places. Be ready to get out of here, because nothing is going to hold you back because of what this lamb represents today. Can you say amen? Everybody say amen. Deliverance. This is all about deliverance. The cross is about deliverance. It's not just about sympathy for a dying Christ. Amen. It's a celebration of the victory of what he accomplished for you and me on that cross. A victory over sin. A victory over death. A victory over the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Everybody say, when I see the blood. You know what Christ is looking for today? He's not looking for your denominational affiliation. Although it's important that you affiliate, amen, where a message is taught from the Word of God so the blood can be applied to your life. Can you say amen? But he's not going to look to see if you're Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian. I used to have a broken tooth, and I went to a doctor whose mom was Episcopalian, and he did a real good job on my broken front tooth because I told him I had a problem pronouncing Episcopalian. And you say amen? He said, we got to fix that. And he fixed it real good. He was an oral surgeon, and we paid him real well so I could pronounce his denominational preference in a way that was with dignity and respect. Amen. But I'm telling you something. What Jesus is looking for in your life is not whether you're a great person or a small person, a rich person or a poor person. Amen. Whether you are a great sinner or a small sinner. The Bible said we've all sinned, and it only takes one to separate you from God. You know what he's looking for today? He's looking for that mark on our life, that blood that's been applied to our life. Jesus shedding his blood for us has become our Passover in the New Testament. And every time that we celebrate the Eucharist, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, every time we come together for Holy Communion, we're carrying over the Passover feast. We are taking bread. We are taking wine just like they did. The difference is the symbolism has changed. Now it's not symbolic, amen, of a lamb, a literal lamb, but Jesus, the actual real lamb that was slain, the last lamb that would ever be slain. But the Passover is still being celebrated. We're not Jewish here today except by the new birth, but we are celebrating that ancient Passover in Holy Communion because it was never supposed to stop, never. And that meant right on into the new covenant we're to celebrate it. That's why this is still a Passover feast in a very real sense of the word, because Jesus is our Passover lamb. And that's what we're commemorating. That's what we're celebrating. Can you say amen? And sometimes we take it like a take it or leave it thing. Let me tell you how God looks at this. These are the instructions he said. Listen, verse 13, but the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you're staying. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Don't you like the New Testament? It said, you have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. If you're looking to go through the tribulation, you ought to read something about the tribulation. You know what it says about the tribulation? It says, amen, that when it begins, when that horrible time on the earth actually begins, it said that every man is going to cry to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, my Bible tells me very clearly, amen, that we have such a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ that we shall be delivered from wrath through him. Can you say amen? When hailstones fall that during the tribulation period that weigh 96 pounds, they have, if they're big as baseballs, you better get in touch with Allstate or State Farm or Geico, because your car is going to sustain major damage. If your head is outside your door, you're going to sustain damage. If it's big as baseballs, amen, your roof is going to sustain major damage in your home. Amen. You're going to have problems with all kinds of things if hail falls that big. But the Bible said, and it gives the actual weight of the ice balls that are going to fall out of heaven during that time. They're going to weigh 96 pounds apiece. When that falls out of heaven, it's going to plummet anything that's beneath it. It's going to tear houses down to the ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's just one of the things that's coming. Amen. That's part of the wrath of God that is coming upon the earth during the tribulation. But Jesus said through this mighty blood covenant that you have not been appointed to wrath. Can you say amen? But to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. This is a message of comfort for people living in the last days. I'm not getting ready to go through that time. I'm getting ready to go where he said he's going to take me during that time. Amen. The Lord himself, the Bible declares, is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. This is not the coming when he stands upon Mount Olives, because when he does, amen, the Bible said every eye is going to see him, and the whole world is going to mourn because of him, because they're not ready to face him. This is a coming for a bride. This is a groom coming for a bride. This is a secret catching away. This is called the rapture. I know rapture's not in the Bible, but the coming of the Lord for his church is in the Bible. Can you say amen? Trinity isn't in the Bible either, but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Someone said the rapture is a new gospel, something developed, and I've heard that. Oh, they just come up with it somewhere along the line. The early church didn't believe in it, and all I can say is bring lots of bread and mayonnaise when you hear that message, because there's going to be a lot of baloney. Can you say, man, there's no doubt about it. 1 Thessalonians said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Amen. And the Bible said the dead in Christ are going to arise first, and we which are living and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. Wherefore, what? In the last days, when all of this trouble is coming upon the earth, comfort one another with these words. Can you say, man, in a time of cataclysm, apocalyptic events coming upon the earth, the Bible said you've got a message of comfort. Don't forget to remind each other that Jesus is coming. Don't forget to remind each other that the dead are going to be raised. Don't forget to remind each other that if you're in the generation that sees the signs of the last days, there's going to be a generation of Christians that'll never see death but be translated into heaven when he comes. What a comforting message. Other one has no comfort in it. Amen. This one has all comfort in it, because God is a God of comfort. Listen, verse 14 says this is a day to remember. Each year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it. Each year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. The new covenant wasn't supposed to stop Passover. It was to redefine it. When Jesus came, when Christ became the Passover lamb, communion celebrated Passover. Continue. This is about Passover. This is about blood applied. Amen. This is about escaping wrath. This is about deliverance from bondage. This is about Jesus, our Passover lamb. And we've made it into a ritual, and once it became a ritual and not something so vital to God and to us, once it became a ritual, then we could take it or leave it, rearrange it any way we wanted to. Can you say, man? Some people do it so quick, it's over. It takes more time with the offering than they do the communion service. It's communion Sunday. We got to have it. They run through it. It's done. It's over with. Honey, this is something unto the Lord. This is a celebration unto the Lord. Can you say, man? As often as we do this, we show his death. Amen. Hallelujah. Till he come. We celebrate the Lamb till he come. In both the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Passover meal is to be practice as a memorial, a meal of remembrance. We just celebrated Memorial Day. And what was that day set aside for? All the people down through the years that have went and defended this nation and paid the ultimate sacrifice for America. We have American flag flying. I don't just put it up on Memorial Day. We just keep it flying. Amen. But our Christian flag in our heart ought to be flying, amen, in full color all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad for the men and women that have died to give us our freedom, that have paid the ultimate sacrifice and are paying it right now? Amen. I don't. Regardless of your political views today, those men and women in uniform, they're doing their duty today. Can you say amen? They're not in. We should leave them out of the politics of all of this and take our hat off to them. Amen. And salute them and do anything we can to aid them and encourage them, because they would go anywhere on this globe under any condition. Amen. And lay down their life so that we could live in freedom. Amen. Listen, folks, the memorial service, we need to remember that we're here today in America because people bled and died. And we need to remember that we're Christians and free today because Jesus bled and died. Amen. This is a memorial. That's what this is all about. It's a memorial. It's a time to remember. So our president with his head bowed as they were talking about all of the war dead, and not just in this war, but in all of the wars, so that we could enjoy freedom. It's a memorial. W.A. Criswell once wrote that the Lord's Supper is first of all a memorial to the atoning death of our Savior. He said, and I quote, "There are many kinds of memorials on the earth. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you've seen the tall, monolithic marble monument to the father of our country, the Washington Monument. I've climbed to the top of it and walked down to the bottom of it. I don't know if there's an elevator. I can't recall, but if there was, I'd take it now. There's a lot of steps in that thing. Amen. In Egypt, you can see many towering obelisks. They call it the Great Pyramids. Sometimes a monument will take the form of a mausoleum. In India, you will see the most beautiful mausoleum in the world. It's called the Taj Mahal, built by Shah Jahan in memory of his beloved wife. It's one of the seven wonders of the world, and it was built as a memorial. But our Lord didn't create a monument of marble to bring us to the memory of our Savior suffering in our behalf. In fact, this memorial is not in the form of any kind of structure. He did it in a primeval, fundamental, and basic way by eating and drinking. And this simple memorial is to be repeated again and again and again and again. The broken bread recalls for us his torn body. The crimson of the cup reminds us of the blood poured out upon the earth for the remission of sins. This is Passover again, but it's Passover redefined. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it communion, but this is Passover. Can you say amen? If it isn't Passover, then Christ isn't our Passover lamb. He's just a lamb. No, he's our Passover lamb, the scriptures declare. When I see the blood, what is God going to do? In spite of your sinful past, what is God going to do when he sees the blood? He's going to pass over you. When the judgments fall, what mark is he looking for? The blood of Jesus applied to your life. He's not going to judge the righteous and the wicked because of that blood-stained doorpost of your life and heart. Amen. The Bible said, when I see that, I will pass over you. Can you say amen? If judgment falls on the righteous and the wicked, then this is not a Passover celebration. Jesus is not a Passover lamb because God isn't in fact passing over us. Amen. But if he's the Passover lamb, God's going to pass over when the judgment day comes. Somebody give him praise. It's not that difficult to figure out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Passover meal is a meal of remembrance. Every year, the Jewish people celebrated Passover as God commanded them, to commemorate the greatest redemptive event in history before the coming of Christ himself. Some 1,500 years, this was established 1,500 years before Jesus came, and yet it's all about Jesus. Can you say amen? It's about when God liberated his people from slavery in Egypt, led them to freedom in the promised land. See, the Bible said we haven't just been saved or our sins forgiven. We've been translated. Yes, same thing. We're following the pattern of the Passover. We've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, out of Egypt into Canaan. Can you say amen? Out of bondage into freedom. Out of such a poverty into blessing. Praise the Lord. God has brought us out of the prison house, and Satan's hand couldn't hold us back. That's what we're celebrating here today. Glory to God. It's not just that Old Testament. The Lord's Supper is also a meal of remembrance that believers, whether Jew or Gentile, celebrate as Jesus commanded. Do this in remembrance of me, he said, to commemorate the greatest redemptive event in history, bar none. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God delivered his people and liberated them from every sin and every consequence of sin. That's why it's more than just about bringing to memory what happened to a group of disciples a long time ago. It's more than just remembering what Jesus did on the cross. We should remember that and be thankful. But God doesn't want to just evoke sympathy for the dying Christ today. He wants you to have victory in the living Christ. Jesus is not hanging on that cross. He said it's finished. And we see he said it's finished. It was accomplished. The victory he came to get and gain for us was accomplished. And when he rose from the dead, he showed his victory in our behalf over death and became the first fruit of them that slept. You know what that means? The first man to, not just the first man to be raised from the dead. He certainly wasn't. Lazarus was raised before him. Jairus' daughter was raised before him. Can you say, man? In the Old Testament, the widow's son was raised before him. Old prophet that they threw in an urn with another bones of another prophet, amen, became raised from the dead. Can you say, man? Jesus wasn't the first man to ever be raised from the dead, amen, but he was the first man to ever be raised from the dead, never to die again. Everybody else that was raised from the dead lived out their days and finally died, except for Jesus. He was raised immortal. He was raised in a glorified body. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He became the first fruits of everybody that's in the grave that trusts in him. He said, if you want to know what your future holds, even though the skin worms eat the flesh off of your bones, I want you to take a good look at Jesus Christ, because he's the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first man that ever lived to die and be raised from the dead, never to die again. Can you say, man? Somebody give God glory. That's what he came to do. That's what we're celebrating here today. Hallelujah. We're celebrating the mightiest victory the world has ever known. Just more than bringing into memory. Remember, the Lord's Supper is about reliving the event in the ritual. That's why the Passover, they ate these bitter herbs to talk, and it had significance. They had four cups that they drank from, and it all had significance. Everything was rehearsed year after year after year after year. And the reason they did it is so when the children, another generation coming along, would ask, what does this mean? We don't understand all this rigmarole. They would say, this is more than rigmarole. Amen. This is more than ritual. We are rehearsing, amen, a victory that we are to continue to rehearse so that every successive generation might set their hope in God. Can you say amen? Everybody say, set their hope in God. Reason so many of the covenant people died in the wilderness is because they forgot what this very thing we're doing today is supposed to bring to our remembrance. They forgot the mighty hand of their God that brought them out of bondage. So when they saw the obstacles, without remembering the mighty hand that delivered them, they became discouraged and they died. Covenant people lived in defeat and died in the wilderness. Only the people who were able to go to war and refused to go over and take the land. And God brought forth a whole other generation because he was determined, amen, to glorify his name in his people and keep his covenant with Israel. Amen. God is determined to have somebody walk in victory here today, because he wants his name glorified. He's more determined to have us in victory than we are to get the victory. Sometimes we all get the mully grubs and the poor old me's, and we think about our problems instead of his glory. Amen. And we'd rather have somebody stroke us because how bad off we are than glorify our God for how wonderfully blessed we are. I want to take a whole new attitude toward life and living. This is the day. Regardless of what else is happening in this day, this is the day the Lord has made. There's a God who reigns over this day, who created this day. Hallelujah. Listen, amen, I will rejoice. It's a choice. Look at somebody and say, it's a choice. It's a choice. You're going to get up in the morning, you're going to make a choice to say, good Lord, morning, or good morning, Lord. Can you say amen? But this is the day that the Lord has made. And when tomorrow gets here, that'll be the day that the Lord has made. And every day that he lets me live on this earth will be a day that he has made. And because he reigns and he's in control and he's able to subdue everything to himself and his eternal purpose. And because all things, yeah, even the bad stuff works together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose, I will rejoice. And I will be glad in it. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise. I will rejoice. Look at somebody say, I'm going to shout his praise. Hallelujah. You got something to shout about. You're part of the blood bought. You're part of those people, whether you live or die. When the trump sounds, you're coming up. Hallelujah. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. That's not just a song or religious sentimentality. That's what we're celebrating, victory over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Here's the reason. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is a litany of all God did for Israel. If you read it from the beginning, a psalm of Asaph, you're going to see all the things that he did to deliver them from Egypt. All of the wonders he wrought and the terrors he brought upon the land. But this is the reason, after all of that mighty power demonstrated in their deliverance, that they didn't walk in victory. How often, verse 40 through 42, did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand or the day when he delivered them from the enemy. One paraphrase said they forgot his love and power, because that's what's represented in his mighty hand. His love that makes him want to move, and his might that gives him the ability to deliver. Amen. They forgot that. And in the forgetting of that, see, that's why this is a memorial. Do this in what? Jesus said, why are we doing this? Why is the specific reason Jesus gave for continuing the Passover? The reason the original Passover was to be done. Remember the God that brought you out of Egypt. Because if God can bring you out of a world empire and destroy an army greater than any army the world had known up until that time, just for your deliverance, anything you face in life or in your future, you can look to that same God and trust him for your deliverance. Somebody say amen. So let your children know why, that they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God. That they might, when they say, what does this mean? Tell them the story of your history and your heritage. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, Isaiah said. This is the heritage. Woo! This is your holy heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Somebody give him praise, servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants to restore victory. And he did it with a mighty hand. They didn't remember his hand nor the day when he delivered them up out of the land of the enemy. Listen real carefully. I'm going to hurry and close to Moses' declaration in Deuteronomy 3 and 24. It says, O Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to all thy works and according to thy might? God distinguishes himself with the supernatural. Everybody say, the true God distinguishes himself with the supernatural. I was diagnosed with cancer of the blood, leukemia. Prayer was offered in the name of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad there's a God in heaven that can answer prayer? We're not down here on our own. We're not left on our own. That's what was the purpose? That they might set their hope in God. That they might look to God when they had needs in their life. They might trust the Lord. I believe God wants to restore deliverance to his people, healing to his people. I believe he wants to restore, amen, something in the faith life of his people that the nations of the world might recognize we serve a living and true God. Amen. I believe lame men are going to leap again, and deaf men are going to hear again, and blind men are going to see again. And I believe the bound are going to be set free. And I believe the people that sit in darkness are going to see a great light. Because the God we call on is not a dead God. He's not a man-made God. He's the God who made man. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. I said he's not a man who made God. He's the God who made man. He's not a figment of someone's religious philosophy. He's not part of someone's religious imagination. He's not a dreamed up God that someone came up with as a panacea for their pain or their heartache. Let me tell you who he is. He's the living God who walks among the candlesticks and lives among his people and listens when we pray. Hallelujah. 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 God wants to move again. God's on the move again. There's a revival in Russia. There's a revival in Red China. And God is moving in South Vietnam and South Korea. And he's going to move in North Korea before it's over. It's a mighty God in India and Pakistan. In South Africa and Argentina. There's reports of mighty revival and reports of the supernatural. Said there's no God in heaven and earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might. Passover meal was to be a constant reminder that God was Israel's provider and protector, helper and deliverer, and that he distinguished himself as the true and living God by his great delivering power in behalf of the people of his covenant. God has a covenant with you. We're celebrating a new covenant in his blood. Everybody say the New Testament is the new covenant. So a covenant is still intact, isn't it? Jesus is the Passover, our Passover lamb. So the Passover is still being celebrated. Amen. But now in its fruition, now in its fullness, now in its consummation. Hallelujah. The last lamb, amen, is Jesus. But he's still the lamb, the eternal lamb of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to verse 31 of Deuteronomy 4. Listen to this through 37. I got to read this just before we close and receive communion. Says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware to them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as great thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did God ever hear the voice? Did people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him for a nation from the midst of another nation? By temptations means great tests and trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Said, have you ever heard? Have you ever heard it told? Have you ever seen anything like what God is doing for you? Can you say, man, this is not a ho-hum message, your deliverance from sin and bondage, from death and hell in the grave. This is a message of God's great delivering power, and the church needs to be proclaiming it. We need to be a people of victory again. We need to know how to get a hold of God so God can get a hold of us and demonstrate the strength of his covenant and the might of his hand again. I'm glad to be standing here today at 60 years of age telling you what the Lord can do. Publishing his doings among the people. I can tell you about broken bones and lesions on my tongue that I've been delivered from. I can tell you about busted ribs that he helped me heal from, and back problems that he healed me from. I can tell you about cancer and him driving it out of my bloodstream. Why? Because there's a God in Israel, and there's a God who sits in heaven who hears and answers prayer. I can give you hope today because this God is not a figment of our imagination. Who has a God? Hey, I'm reading it to you out of Deuteronomy. Listen to this. Unto thee, verse 35, it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There's none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardest words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them. And brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. To drive out the nations, verse 38. From before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in and to give their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath, and there's none else. Can you say amen? He's God in heaven above and he's God in earth beneath, and there is none else. Because Jesus is our Passover, all that is accomplished on the cross is available to us as participants in the new covenant. Everything he accomplished on that cross as our Passover lamb is ours in Christ Jesus. Jesus took the place of the Passover lamb. I want to just read this testimony as we close. In the Lord's Supper, we proclaim his death. Literally, we publish his death. We show, S-H-E-W, his death till he comes. We're not talking about something that makes us sentimental and weepy alone. We're talking about a victory that has been achieved. It is finished. It's accomplished. Not just the fact that he died on the cross for us, but that through his shed blood we are reconciled to God and all the blessings of the covenant are available to us. We're declaring that we are the blood-bought children of the Most High God. How many can declare you're a blood-bought child of the Most High God? You've been brought into this new covenant blessing. John 8:36 said, if the Son therefore make you free, you're free indeed. You have genuine, authentic, real freedom. I love this young lady's testimony. She's from the UK. Her name is Lise Alexander, and this was published recently. This was 4707. This is just a little while back. She said, I was an atheist brought up in a house filled with fear. I was reared with an alcoholic mother, a very distant, angry father, and an alcoholic grandfather, a blind grandmother, and a neurotic great aunt, aided in rounding out this dysfunctional family, along with a twin sister and other siblings at least 12 years our senior. After leaving home for school, I was told my boyfriend, age 13, the first love, you know, had committed suicide. This was when I began to dwell on death. What did it mean? What is it? The rest of my schooling seemed to be a waste of time because I could not think of work, only of death. Because of a surgery I had to leave school early. For 1 year, I went home to live with a drunken mother I hated with a fear-filled household, and in the end decided to go into nursing. I pondered death but received no answers. It was at this time I got into the occult, and everything went downhill from there. Inside, I wanted to die. I was a black hole I could not get out of. I took an overdose of drugs stolen from the hospital ward. I cut arteries in my wrist and waved goodbye to the world, but I awoke in pain with stitches. I was not sure if I was really alive. They placed me in a room about 6 foot by 4 foot, and I stayed there for several years. With 36 plus drugs a day, strapped in a straitjacket on occasion, no window, no visitors, no furniture. They knew she would try to kill herself if they let her get anything she could choke herself with. Some people will literally eat the toilet paper until they choke on it in order to die. Just a mattress on the floor. No clothes on me. Where was I? I did not know it then, but I was in a padded cell. After 17 months, they moved me for short periods to have treatments. They did not work. I hated life. I feared everything. I felt alone. There was no God. The doctors advised therapy. That meant outside the grounds in a hospital. High security wing of a psychiatric hospital, in other words, an asylum. On one occasion, I managed to escape, was captured and returned. The consultant told me, Lise, stop running away. You're here for life. The quicker you accept this, the easier for us and the easier for you. Now, isn't that just what the devil wants you to do? Say, whatever your lot in life is, accept it. If there is a God, he surely won't listen to you. Your life hasn't changed yet, and it's not going to change. Accept it. Live in this prison of fear. Stay in bondage. He wanted Israel to go back to Egypt and convince them to. They said it had been better we died in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. And God had to shake them into the reality that he didn't want his name associated with people dying in Egypt as slaves, but people living in Canaan as free men and women. And he still wants that to be representative of his covenant today. Can you say amen? God is absolutely committed to your deliverance for his great name's sake. Somebody say, for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. This is now your home for life. I wanted to die. Another time I escaped and got out into the black market drug scene and became an addict. My plan was to die from all these drugs. I escaped again to die. On the way and went into a hall and heard a man say, God can do anything. Absolutely anything. He can heal the sick, heal the mentally sick, and set the drug addict free. I went to leave. The God bit made me angry. A lady at the door said, Jesus loves you. He knows what a mess you're in. He really cares. And a new record started playing in my mind. A new tape started playing in my consciousness. I returned to the hospital after many escape attempts and those that succeeded and those that failed. Some Christian visitors came to see me in hospital. They laid hands on me. And I was healed. They prayed with me, and I was saved. And I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. Accepted him as Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These are not mere words, but this is reality. Somebody say, that woman ought to know. And then she says, he demonstrates his power with the lost and the sick and the bound. Praise him for the faith of those who came in my cell and simply asked Jesus to touch this poor girl's mind. And he did. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Amen. Lise Alexander. Our God is a mighty God. And what I just said to you is his handiwork. We have a redeemer. Can you say amen? We've been bought with a price. Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. And this Holy Communion and everyone we ever celebrate looks all the way back to God bringing his children out of Egypt and saying, that's exactly what I did in your life when I brought you out of Satan's dominion, out of the darkness of deception, and out of the glorious liberty of the children of God. He wants every Christian in this room to walk in that liberty, to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, but also in the power of his resurrection. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive this communion representative of Jesus, our Passover lamb? Are you ready for victory in your life? Aren't you glad for what God did while we were sitting here today? Holy Spirit bearing witness, phone ringing to say I'm doing just what I told you I was going to do. Woo! You can't beat that with a stick. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God great today? Will you please serve us Holy Communion?